You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu. And we are recording at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona, and we get to meet with leaders of Lutheran Heritage Foundation and get an update on their work today. A very exciting, a full stage here at convention. I get to talk with three representatives from Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
Reverend Dr. Dinkubato, Translation Coordinator for Africa with LHF. Welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
And the Reverend Dr. Ted Nothelong, Translation Coordinator for Southeast Asia with LHF. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. I've got a long list of updates. You guys always come so prepared with so many stories and things that are happening. It's so impressive every time we talk with Lutheran Heritage Foundation of all of the work that's happening around the globe. And I'm really excited to hear all of the things that are happening from each of your regions. Dr. Heise, let's start with the Icelandic materials. I hear there's an update on those.
Yes, maybe just a little background too. I connected with Pastor Shakarius Ingolfsson, I want to say it was probably 4 years ago. And he's a pastor in Norway, but he's a native Icelander. His parents still live in Reykjavik, Iceland. And so he has a heart for his people and realizing that they have strayed far from the gospel, as many Europeans have, of course. And so he started doing a lot of work digitally. And when I connected with him, we did a few Zoom sessions, and I said, just let me know when you're ready to print something, because we can help you with that. And so sure enough, we have this Icelandic small catechism. You see the nice picture of Martin Luther on it. That was just printed, but we hadn't gotten copies yet. And so Bishop-elect Marcus Snellman, the new bishop who will be the new bishop for the Lutheran Church in Norway, brought these to us at the convention, which was appropriate time-wise because we had a pastor come up to us and say, I have a senior in my congregation. She's kind of homebound. She's more comfortable in her native Icelandic. Would you happen to have something in Icelandic? You know, when we get these requests all the time. Icelandic. Yeah, sure. We're doing this, I'm pleased to say, but we don't have it yet. But it's coming, and it's coming within the, you know, as soon as the bishop gives it to us. And sure enough, he gave it to us about a couple days ago. And yesterday he came back and we said, we got it. So just the requests that we get sometimes from people for things like Icelandic small catechisms are not what you expect, but I mean, we're thrilled that we've been able to provide a resource, not only for them, but also for the work that Shakarius, Pastor Shakarius, is doing in his homeland of Iceland because he is training lay leaders. They meet in a chapel, which is kind of neat. It's like 100 years old. It's an old Lutheran chapel because Iceland was a Lutheran country, and it was the chapel of a football team. Football, as they would call it, not soccer, as we call it. And so they had this football team chapel, which they don't use anymore. And they said, you guys can use it. So they are using it for their services on Sundays in Reykjavik, Iceland. So we were able to do that. And as well, Shakarius also had a great desire to translate into Norwegian. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's How Has American Christianity Failed?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently would have some lessons for the Lutherans in Norway. And so we helped him with that translation, with at least providing the funds to be able to print it. And so sure enough, there we go. He's got, now we've got a copy of that, How Has American Christianity Failed in Norwegian.
That is very cool.
Those are just a couple of things there from the Scandinavian countries.
Sure, yeah. Are there other Norwegian materials, or is that the big highlight?
You know, this is kind of the beginning. We've talked about, you know, they had in the past their own catechisms, but we are actually working, I'm glad you reminded me, because we're working on an update, updated catechism, which should be done this year. And it is done in the two dialects of Norway. One of them is Bokmål, Bokmål is spoken throughout most of Norway, and Nynorsk is spoken on the coast in Bergen and places like that. So we are going to have those two dialects in small catechism form by the end of the year, too. So once again, it just thrilled to be able to have things going in. And we understand there are Persians in Norway, too. So our Farsi materials are probably going to make it there as well.
Fabulous. And there's a Spanish book of prayer also.
Yes. The Spanish book of prayer has been printed, published in hardcover and softcover. We have tons of these in our office. So we certainly ask people, would you like to have this resource? Please let me know. We could ship them to you throughout the states. They are making their way through Latin America right now. It's it's kind of Luther's book of small prayers. And found that those can be really helpful for a lot of people. And likewise, we are also helping them with the daily devotions. It's like a portals of prayer. Mm-hmm. And Word of the Lord will stand forever. It's in Spanish. So right now that's digital. We're hoping to be able to maybe get that into printed form as well. And it's just a great reminder to me of how the church adapts to its people. Because when I was growing up, my grandmother, who was a German speaker, would get the tägliche Andacht. She would get the daily devotions in German and then hand them on to her grandson who was learning German. And by 1998, a lot of those old Germans had died out. Yeah. And they discontinued the printing of daily devotions in German. Now we have them in Spanish because we have a growing contingent of Spanish speakers in the Lutheran Church throughout North America and South America. And so it's, you know, it's great to be able to say, okay, let's pivot here and provide those resources. And by the way, we're also doing a children's Bible storybook in German.
Oh, wow.
For Germany. because of so many of the immigrants who come into the church from Syria, from Afghanistan, and who come into the church from Iran. And that way, as they become citizens and want to be part of a German society, their kids are going to have German Child's Guide to Bible Stories.
Yes, that's fabulous. Now, Dinkubato, let's talk about some Swahili materials. What's going on in the Swahili language?
Yeah, the Swahili language being one of the widely spoken languages in the Lakes region and Eastern Africa that comprise of Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. And it's one of the languages even referred to as the lingua franca of Africa. And noting that, and we have published small catechism with explanation, and also the ingredient, the smaller one, with the funding that we got from the convention offering 2023-2026.
Okay.
And also in part, that's in partnership with Concordia Publishing House. Then we printed these resources, explanation, Luther's Small Catechism with explanation, 20,000 copies. And the ingredient, same thing but smaller version, is 200,000, and that is a big leap in that language group that is going to be used among this people group. And also, we have printed the children's song book, which has notes on it. The notas are also printed this time. Most of the books for children so far has not been printed with this notes, musical notes with it, but this one that we printed 30,000 copies is also made available. Therefore, this is a big support for the Swahili speaking African countries. Yeah.
How far? Those sound like big numbers to me. But how far does a printing like that go in Africa?
It goes to all these countries that are speaking the language as primary, official, or whatever national language, these five, six countries. You know, the language is like spoken by about 150 to 200 million people. And now what we printed is like a drop in the sea,
right.
But still, you know, that would help the church in their effort to, you know, make disciples. So small catechism is mainly used for confirmation classes and also as one of the sole materials in training disciples, those who come to Christ in big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this goes into other countries that I mentioned, beyond the countries that I have mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. We're talking with representatives from Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We have more to talk about after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. I'm talking with representatives from Lutheran Heritage Foundation while we are at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. Joining me is the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise, Reverend Dr. Dean Kubato, and the Reverend Dr. Ted Nathalong. We're talking about LHF translation, translated materials all around the world today, which is very, very exciting. Tell me more about the African translation seminar that has happened.
Yes, African translation seminar that happened, that was held in March 26 this year, for 1 week in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. For the first time, we were able to bring our translators from 19 countries,
wow.
Two from each country to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, so that they will come together, share experiences, and learn some of the main translation skills and, you know, knowledge and ideas, where they covered, technologies, translation technologies that we can use in our translation, the ethics of it, and other important topics have been covered by experts who are expert in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very helpful, especially helpful event in boosting the quality of our translation in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback is very great, and people. These people are like TOTs, trainers of trainers,
okay.
Who will go back and train their translation team that they work with in mm-hmm. their respective countries. And we hope that we will continue, based on the request they brought forward, we are going to continue this, not in a yearly basis, because of the funding, it's an expensive event.
Right.
But every 3 years, or, you know, based on the availability of funding. But that kind of translation seminar will help in making our materials very good materials in terms of translation. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I hear there are there's pastors who want to be Lutheran in South Sudan.
Yes.
Tell me the story.
Yeah, this is a very recent, probably 6 months old story, but still in the making.
Mm-hmm.
About 35 pastors from Anglican Church in South Sudan. You know, having seen the activity of the Lutheran Church that is young in South Sudan, especially, you know, we have been helping them from the get-go. Anglican pastors read small catechism and contacted LHF. That's how the South Sudanese church came into being, the Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm.
And now the remaining Anglican church, which is a big church in South Sudan, seeing our church expanding and all the change that they see in the life of people, they wanted to come and see closely
mm-hmm.
and made contact with the Bishop Peter Anibati Abia. Mm-hmm. And recently he just said, we have these pastors who want to learn about Lutheranism. but the capacity, you know, is challenging for us, and come and help us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are working on that in partnership with ILC and International Lutheran Church is now helping us with finding people from the FELCISA, which is a Lutheran Church, German-speaking Lutheran Church in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
to come over to South Sudan, Yambio, where we have our seminary, and bring all these pastors, Anglican pastors, and train them in the Lutheran Small Catechism and Lutheran Basics 101 of Lutheranism. Then
mm-hmm.
that is one of the hot issues, hot things that is now we are focusing on. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yes,
to be able to do that kind of work.
Yep.
Wow. All right, Ted, let's talk about the materials in your area in Southeast Asia. Tell me about the Chinese materials that are happening right now.
Well, in the last couple of years, it seemed like the increased demand of the Chinese simplified language
mm-hmm.
has really increased a lot. And recently, we just finished the Book of Concord in simplified Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, for the first time, it's really in a big demand. And also another book that we just published would be Lutheranism 101, and that's also being used by non-Lutheran also.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, we feel that we need to start an office in Malaysia to help introduce and distribute these books, because a lot of people in Malaysia and Singapore also did speak Chinese.
Hmm.
So, and really a blessing to have that office open this year. And hopefully, maybe later on this year, we'll be able to open another office in South Korea too. So, because of that demand. Yeah.
Tell me more about the demand for materials in simplified Chinese. How far do these materials go?
Well, it's unfortunate that we cannot print this material in China.
Mm.
And, you know, before COVID, we had a plan to do that. And because of that, we just have to publish most of our books are printed in Bangkok
mm-hmm.
and ship it to either Singapore, Malaysia, and to U.S. And so these books are being, would say, used by non-LCMS Lutheran mm-hmm. who wants to know, to learn more about the true Lutheran teaching.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about Indonesian materials as well. There's Indonesian materials happening as well.
Yeah, most people don't know that there are close to probably 9 or 10 million Lutherans in Indonesia. And it, you know, it, another thing is that Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country in the world.
Mm.
So, but it, we had opportunity to work with the local churches that appreciate the teaching of our materials. This year, one big church, the HKBP, has a membership of over 5 million. They're celebrating 165th anniversary.
Wow.
And they asked us if we could provide with, you know, them with like 50,000 of Luther's Small Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sure yet if we're able to provide them that many, and because of the cost. And also there's another Lutheran church in Indonesia that plan to sign an MOU with us, because they really like to continue to work with us in the long term
mm-hmm.
with the material we have. So we could see the force and also the movement of this church who were reformed. Now they want to learn more about Lutheran teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, we sent Professor Holman. He's a professor at Concordia St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a couple of weeks in Indonesia introducing books like the Catechism, Book of Concord, to some Lutheran churches and non-Lutheran churches
mm.
and seminary too. So, and they want us to go back, you know, to help to teach, introduce this great material that we have. And, so we really have a lot of, I think more demand than we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that we, what we need to do, you know, how can we work with local churches and also get some funding from them too.
What are the trends you're seeing in Southeast Asia? You're telling all of these great stories about people really wanting your materials. What are the trends that you're seeing across the different countries, the different language groups that you work with?
Well, the books that we have, you know, to tell you the truth, are being used by non-Lutheran because of the, you know, the books are so good that the local churches, whether Lutheran or non-Lutheran, cannot afford to publish themselves, you know, because of the cost. And also, when we translate, publish, we do it with good quality.
Mm.
You know, it looks good and it lasts for a long, long time. So something like this are being used, being asked by non-Lutheran and the Lutheran Church in Southeast Asia. And so you could see that as they study our catechism, they like it a lot because it's from the scripture.
Mm.
And so they, you know, that's how they become Lutheran. You know, they ask, well, could you help us to be good Lutheran?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another opportunity for us to introduce the Lutheran teaching to these churches.
Yeah. Dr. Heise, what are you seeing in all of the work that you do and all the travels that you make? What are you seeing as trends around the world with people who are interested in learning about Lutheranism?
Well, I kind of liken it to Jesus' parable about those who reject the word, and increasingly we're seeing that in our own country and in Europe, not entirely, because you still go out to the highways and byways, but what we just heard from Africa, from Dinku, and Asia, from Ted, is where the church is growing the most, and the people are willing to listen. Actually, Dr. Holman also went into a Muslim academy and presented on the Christian faith as Lutherans understand it. So to be, and they were attentive, they're listening. So others aren't listening, and yet you go into places, especially Africa and Asia, and you see that the fields are white for harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I think we're printing more and more. That's the trend we see. We run out of books, as Dinku can tell you, before we get them printed. Ted can tell you about Vietnamese. We run out of those books before we can even finish printing them. The demand is great.
Yeah.
And so that's where we concentrate our resources while not forgetting Christendom as it used to be in Europe and other places.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned something earlier that I find that my brain is still processing on this, the second generation printing books in German for the children of Persian refugees.
Yes.
Tell me more about those kinds of things that you're thinking about as you're in a country and seeing the people who are looking for these materials. What are some of those things, like these language groups that you may not think about?
This is the interesting thing, is that because a lot of people, I think, are mistaken in thinking that, you know, they may see others who come into the country and don't want to learn a language. But that's not the case, especially with Persians in Germany and in Europe. There are many immigrants who want to become part of, they left Iran for a reason.
Sure.
So they want to become part of that society. They want to learn the language. And, so the church has been open for them. The doors have been open. Gottfried Martens, Pastor Martens in Berlin started so much of this, but missionary Hugo Gievers in Leipzig and Kim Boltman, our LCMS deaconess, who is extraordinary, who's working with so many different people groups, using their German to help other immigrants. And so we can provide all these resources, be it Farsi, be it German, whatever they need. And that's what we're trying to do. I even talked about Dr. Abjar Baku, who's helped us in Sweden with Arabic.
Right.
because his family lives up there in Sweden. So, you know, dealing with other refugees from Syria, Iraq, with Arabic language materials becomes very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And as people may be able to hear in the background when this airs, we are surrounded by all of these brothers and sisters in Christ. What has been your experience here?
And a mariachi band
too.
Right,
that just started. What has been your experience talking with all the people here?
You know, we've been able to sometimes email so many of the folks that we work with.
Sure.
But I think Dinku and Ted and I can certainly attest to the fact that so many of the people that we email and talk to see them in person, to see my dear friend, President of Lutheran Church Kazakhstan, Reverend Alexander Bortsev, and speak Russian with him. and our book distributor, Pastor Yevgeny Raskotov in St. Petersburg. It's just so great to see them. And I think it encourages them as well, too, because they see this church is so big and so large, and it proclaims Jesus to all people.
Yes, absolutely. It is really wonderful to be here with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's been really great to catch up with all three of you today. The Reverend Dr. Ted Nathalong, Translation Coordinator in Southeast Asia for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
The Reverend Dr. Dinku Bato, Translation Coordinator for Africa with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise, Executive Director for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sarah, for giving us these microphones.
Absolutely. And where can we find more information about Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Just go to lhfmissions.org and you will find a plethora of material about what you can get and how we can help you in your outreach to people who speak different languages.
Fantastic. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.